Yesterday we mentioned the Rashba. Let's just quickly review the title here is Mihem Bnei Ha'ir, and the Rashba, as we said yesterday, quotes the Yesh Mefarshim that the Bnei Ha'ir are the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir. However, after the Rashba quotes this Yesh Mefarshim, he himself rejects the Yesh Mefarshim, and he says that the title, the terminology, Bnei Ha'ir, is not appropriate for the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir. It should have said Bnei Ha'ir. It should have said Tuvei Ha'ir, and it says Bnei Ha'ir. Now Rava says on the bottom of Chavav Amud Aleph, Lo Shanu Elish Lo Machru Shiva Tuvia B'Mamad Anshei Ha'ir. Now our Mishnah apparently is referring to a case where the Shiva Tuvia Ha'ir sold the Beis Knesset, but they were missing the Mamad of Anshei Ha'ir. Then that's certainly the way the Yesh Mefarshim understand it. However, if you hold like the Yesh Mefarshim, Lo Shana Shemachu Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir Shelo B'Mamad Anshei Ha'ir, it should have said Shelo B'Mamad Anshei Ha'ir. That's what Rava should have said. Rava's language is Lo Shana Ela Shelo Machu Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir B'Mamad Anshei Ha'ir. Keep in mind that Rava goes on to say that Machu Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir B'Mamad Anshei Ha'ir is Afilu L'Mishta Shichra. Is that what it says? Yon Chavavam Beis. If you take a look, it says Shichra. Now let's just translate the words of Rava for a moment, and then hopefully later on we'll come back to Rava. L'mishta be'shikra liknos b'damim sheichar lishtos. So you could use the damim to buy beer, and that shaper dami. Again, we would assume that that's referring to a kfar, because in the case of the Anshei Kfar could sell the Beis HaKnesses, in Krochim we said there's no possibility of selling the Beis HaKnesses, and that would apply even b'shiva tuvei ir b'maimed Anshei Ha'ir. So with regard to a kfar, the Mishnah says that if you are missing, again, let's say we're missing one of these two elements of either Tuvei Ha'ir or Maimed Anshei Ha'ir, we don't know which one of the two elements, then the Mishnah applies, and there are very strict rules about what you're going to do with the damim that you receive in return for sale of Beis Knesses. You have to fulfill the principle of Maimed B'Kodesh. But in the case of a Beis Knesset Shel Kfar, if you sold it B'Maimed Anshei Ha'ir together with Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir, then you could do whatever you want with the Mos, with the Domim, which would mean that you're not restricted to Milan B'Kodesh. So he writes, Kevan Sha'omar, since Rava says, Lo Shanu Ela Shelo Machu B'Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir Mashma, it sounds like the Mechira in our Mishnah was not implemented by the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir. Therefore the Rashba, as opposed to the Yesh Mefarshim, interprets Shemachu B'nei Ish Mamish Ela Shelo Machru Midas Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir. So whereas the Yesh Mefarshim interpret that the Mishnah B'nei Ha'ir means the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir, the Rashba is saying no, it was an Ish and he sold it Shalom Midas Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir. Now, whether B'nei Ha'ir refers to the entire city or to Rova the city, that's an issue unto itself. And with regard to Rechova Shal'ir, the language of Machru sounds like it was b'dievet okay to sell the Rechova Shal'ir if you're going to fulfill the Milah B'Kodesh with the Domin. So is it only Machru b'dievet, or are you allowed to sell L'chatchila? This is a diun here in the Rashba as well. Now, as far as Teva is concerned, and the Mishnah allows you to take the money of the Beis Knesses and use it to buy a Teva, correct? Now, what exactly is a Teva? The Shulchan Aruch says that a Teva is the Aron, Shemanichim Bo, Sefer Torah. The Bach, on the other hand, writes on the tour in Siman Kuf Nun that this is not an Aron Kodesh, but rather the Heichal is the Aron Kodesh. The Heichal would be the proper terminology for the Aron Kodesh. The Teva is Aron Aroch Vitzar Shemunach Shom Rak Sefer Torah Echad Vashatz Yorid Lufanav Lispala L'chein Nikri Yorid Lufnei Teva. So what exactly is the difference here between the Shulchan Aruch and the Bach? Let's see it again. Shulchan Aruch is saying that a Teva is the Aron Shemenichim Bo Sefer Torah. Or the Shulchan Aruch gives another option of a Luach Shemamidim Olav Es HaSefer Torah. The Bach says that no, we're not talking about an Aron Kodesh. The Heichal is the Aron Kodesh. The Teva is an Aron Aroch Vitzar Shemunach Shom Rak Sefer Torah Echad. I'm not sure exactly what the Bach is trying to, where's his objection here against the Shulchan Aruch? Not clear to me. Whether it's maybe for one Sefer or for many Sifrei Torah, I don't know. Now, it says in the Mishnah that Mitpachos have a lower level of Kedusha than Sfarim, so that if you sell Mitpachos, then you could use the funds to purchase Sfarim. Let's go over that one more time. Just flipping back and forth in the pages, so bear with me. It says here that you went up one level to the Teva, from the Beis Knesses to the Teva. Now you're going from the Teva up to Mitpachos. And from Mitpachos, you're going up to Sfarim, and from Sfarim to a Sefer Torah. So Mitpachos goes up to the level of Sfarim. Now Rashi interprets Sfarim as Nevi'im Uksuvim. The Rambam seems to imply that we're talking about Chumashim. Dahainu Shenichtav Kol Chumash Levado. Again, the question is, when he says Chumash, are we talking with Dio and Klaf on Gvil, and what are the dinim here, Lishma, what are the dinim here that set up a Chumash? I don't know. Now, the Gemara Lein Aruch of Zion seems to indicate that Kedushas Chumashim is greater than Kedushas Nevi'im Uksuvim, but less than the Kedusha of a Sefer Torah. Because the Gemara says, Golim Sefer Torah b'mitpachos Chumashim. V'chumashim b'mitpachos Nevi'im Uksuvim. Avalo Nevi'im Uksuvim b'mitpachos Chumashim. In other words, there seem to be six levels over here. There's the in our Mishnah, there's the Rechov, going up to the Beis HaKnesses, going up to the Teva, going up to Mitpachos, and then to Sfarim, and then to Sefer Torah, as the highest on the totem pole, so to speak. So why didn't the Mishnah add a seventh, which would be Chumashim? In other words, you go from Sfarim up to Sefer Torah. You really could go from Sfarim up to Chumashim. because the Gemara seems to imply on Chav Zayin that the Kedusha of Sfarim, of Nevi'im and Ksuvim, is less than that of Chumashim, because it says Chumashim v'mitpachos shal Nevi'im and Ksuvim, avalo Nevi'im and Ksuvim v'mitpachos Chumashim. So the Turi Eben says the following, that according to the Rambam, it's possible that mitpachos and Nevi'im and Ksuvim are equal in the Kedusha. And perhaps there's no possibility of buying Nevi'im and Ksuvim with mitpachos or vice versa, because there's no ilui. We need Milam B'Kodesh. So that itself touches on a basic machlokes as to whether or not you need Milam B'Kodesh, or just that it shouldn't be Moridim B'Kodesh. Now, it says here mitpachos lochim sfarim, and Rashi says Nevi'im and Ksuvim. The Ran says that it seems from the Mishnah that Kedushas Nevi'im and Ksuvim are equal. There's no difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim. And we mentioned yesterday that seems to be problematic based on a sugya in Rosh Hashanah with regard to Malchis, Zichronos, and Shofars and the Musaf, that the Gemara justifies Ksuvim, the Psukei Psukim before Nevi'im, because of the principle of Milam B'Kodesh, indicating that Ksuvim and Nevi'im had two different Kiddushos. Now there's a long discussion here about whether you can sell for Kedusha Shava. The Ran quotes in the name of the Baal Amor that there are Diyukim Sosrim from the Reish and the Seifa, and he writes that since there are Diyukim Sosrim, therefore you cannot come to any definitive conclusion based on the Mishnah. But the Gemara later on in Chav Zayin seems to indicate that you need an ilui, that you have to go up. The Gemara has Ibailon in Mochrim Sefer Torah Yashan Kedei Liknos Chadash. Ha'im, do we say Kevedel Miley Le Asur, O Dilma Kevedel Lekel Ililuye Liachrina Shapir Dome? So the boiler who the suffix in the Gemara is by a Sefer Torah, Shaloshayach la'aloso b'kedusha. There's no high level of kedusha, but l'gabi shar dvarim, where there is a possibility of aliyah l'kedusha, then you would require ilui. It's only with regard to Sefer Torah, you have a yosha and a chodesh and all that. Therefore, the Gemara wants to suggest the possibility that otherwise it would be Kevin Delo Miley Osu. That's what it seems from the sugya later on in Daf Chav Zayin, and that's what the Ran points out. Now the Mishnah says Machru Sefer Torah Lo Yikhu Sfarim. Now Rashi brings from a Tosefta Minayin Shemalim B'Kodesh, quoting the pasuk in Shmos Perek Mem, Vayoka Moshe Samishkan, and the reason why Moshe was in charge, was given the mandate of Akoma Samishkan, is because of Milam B'Kodesh. You go from Betzal up to Moshe. And the Lo Moridim is derived from Bamidbar Yud Zayin, Es Machto Sachatoim Eilu B'Nafshosom V'yosu Sorikui Pachim Tzipuilu Mizbeach Ki Hikrivum Lufne Hashem V'yikdoshu. Now the Turi Eben objects to Rashi. He thinks that maybe there's a mistake here, because the Gemara Menachos has it just to the opposite, that Milam B'Kodesh we derive from the Machtos of Korafad Doso, that the Machtos were used for Tzipur L'Mizbeach, that's Milam B'Kodesh. And the Gemara derives the Menachos Tzadi Tess from Vayokom Moshe Samishkan, that Ein Moridin B'Kodesh. The Netziv suggests a possibility to answer up this question and reconcile the two sugyas. I don't know if we'll have time to do that now, but I did want to mention to you the suffix of the Prima Godim as to whether Milan the Kodesh is Doraisa or Darabanan. Rashi seems to indicate that it's a Din Doraisa we derive from Sukkim, but the Prima Godim says that he has a Rashi elsewhere that seems to indicate that the Pasuk is only Asmachta and Milan the Kodesh is only Darabanan. And that's what he writes here as well. He authored another sefer on of Chidushim on Shas called the Rosh Yosef. Now, in a tshuva sefer that's quoted here called the Ginas of Radim, he writes that Kedushas Mizbeach Ukhle Shares is Maila Bekodesh is Doraisa, but Kedushas Sefer Torah and Beis HaKnesses, which don't have the element of Mizbeach, is there the halacha of Maila Bekodesh is only Dirabbanan. So that's that in itself is a fascinating issue, whether Kedushas Sefer Torah is Dirabbanan. Well, he has here a note that the Rav Shulchan Aruch seems to imply that Kedusha Sefer Torah is Doraisa. He quotes another Tshuva Sefer, the Marash Engel, who says that Dorash HaKadosh B'Atzmo Kagon Sefer Torah is Ma'alav HaKadosh is an Issa Torah, but Aron, which is really Tashmish Kedusha, there Ma'alav HaKadosh is only Dirabbanan. So that's a fascinating topic unto itself. Now, the Mishnah ends with a discussion about Mosros Sehem. The Sfasevah says that the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that even if they sold the Teva, Yosef Mikdei Shavya, Vinishar Mosar, is Hoya Makam Loma Shekesem Zel Lo Nechshav Lidmei Teva. In other words, when you sell something, the money that you get divides into two. This part is the Dmei HaChefetz, in this case the Dmei HaTeva, and the rest is not Dmei HaTeva, and therefore you can use it for a Kedusha Kala. And the Chiddush HaMishnah know that all the Dvarim are considered Dmei Teva. And the Meiri points out that the Chiddush of our Mishnah is that Kshalachu berov damim kedusha chamura hava mina shamiut shenosam mutalika kedusha kala. Then maybe there's a halach of rov and miut here. In any event, the Chachamim say that the Rechov has no kedusha. That's what we discussed yesterday. The Ritva writes that that's only as far as mechira is concerned. You're allowed to sell it. You can sell the Rechov here for the purpose of chulin. But the Rechov HaYir itself, as long as it's being used on the Tainios, it has a Ktsas Kedusha. And also Linog Sham Divrei Bizoyim, since it's Mezuman L'Tfila L'Fa'amim, B'Derech HaKroi. And that's interesting because what is the status of a Beis HaKvaros? Let's say you have a long line of Kvaros, and you recite Tfilos at the Kvaros, B'derech Aroi. And not only that, there may be a Kaddish and a Tzidduk HaDin in some cases, and therefore Ein Linog Bohem Minog Bizoyim. Now, what do the Rabbanim mean when they say Ikroi B'Alma, referring to the Rechov HaShalir? The Magen Avraham says in the name of the Marit that in the Azor of the Beis HaKnesses, that sometimes there's a spillover when there's not enough room, there are too many people coming, so the latecomers daven in the vestibule outside the Azor of Beis HaKnesses. Is that also considered a Makom Tefillah? And not only that, he wants to suggest that even according to the Chachamim, that might be considered tadir, because it's not limited to any particular day of the year, but rather any day of the year that could happen. If there's an overflow minyan, so the people spill over into the vestibule outside the sanctuary, and that itself makes it into a makom tefillah. Now, with regard to Beis Knesset Shal Krochim, the Gemara says, came unto me, Alma Osi Lo Motsui Lemizmen Elei. We mentioned yesterday three different approaches, and we spoke about the Prima Godim has Nafkaminis, and the Mishnah Berurah says that there may be a situation in which a Beis Knesset Shal Krochim is considered and defined with the same status as Beis Knesset Shel Kfarim, and you'd be allowed to sell it. The Turi Evan has a question here. Let's see if we can figure it out. He says, "Madu lo nomar chiluk ze al adira rishon shel mishnah berchovah shel ir." When the Gemara differentiates between Krochim and Kfarim, why is that differentiation made with regard to Beis Knesses? What about Rechov Shal Ir? And he answers that Kevon Sherechov Afilu Rebbe Menachem Rebbe Yossi Ein Bo Mishum Kedusha Elam Ipneshim Ispalim Bo Betainios Lachain Afilu Shal Krochim Yecholim Limkar. Even if it's a Rechov Shal Ir in a krach, you could sell it, because the Kedusha is because of tefillah, that sometimes, meaning on Tanyos, we use it as a makom tefillah. Now, according to Tosfos, a Beis Knesset Shel Krochim, they cannot sell it because it was structured, it was erected ledas rabim, and therefore it has a Kedusha chamura. Rechov ha'ir, the Ikar Asiya, was only l'tzorch tefillah. But rather Litzorch Echol Shel Bnei Ha'ir, and therefore doesn't have that Kiddusha Chamura. And therefore you could sell Rechov Shel Ir even in a krach. And furthermore, since they only daven in Rechov Shel Ir on Tainios Bekroi B'Alma, it's not Ladas Rabin. We really can never predict whether the Rabbim are going to show up to join in the Tfilos on the Yom Tainis in the Rechov Shel Ir. And Dafka Beis Knesset, Shemispalu Bo Tomid Amirin Shebekrochim, Shemitsuyim Rabbim, is Nasa Aldas HaRabbim. Now, according to the second Teretz of Tosfos, that we can't sell a Beis Knesset in Krochim because of the contributions of the Rabbim for the building of the Beis HaKnesses in a Krach, and that goes way beyond the Bnei Ha'ir. So therefore, with regard to the Rechov, we would say that that reasoning is not applicable at all. Nobody's making a drive, a charity drive to attract contributors to contribute for the needs of Rechov Shel Ir. The Bnei Ha'ir, and only the Bnei Ha'ir, are interested in the Rechov Shel Ir. It's Nasa L'Tzorcheihem. So therefore, the Mishnah would not make any differentiation here between the heter of Rechov Shel Ir in the case of a kfar and that of a krach. And basically, in a sense, we could say that Rechov Shel Ir, even in the case of a krach, is really ladas yochid, meaning it's not really ladas rabim, and perhaps it doesn't have the Kedusha Chabur, as we said before, because that element of Rabin that breaks the bounds of the ear and encompasses the entire universe, that's not applicable to the Rechov Shel Ir. Now he quotes here in the Masifta, the Pnei Yoshua in Shut, Yesh L'dagdek Ma Nechshav L'Krach, what constitutes a krach? And he says the following. It says that in kfarim is mutar. So that means anything beyond the kfar is considered a krach. That's what he says initially, but then he changes his mind. He says, no, a krach is an ir gedola b'yoser, makom shvakim v'yiridim, sheboim l'sham e'harbi makomos tamid. Aval ir gedola, she'ena makom shvakim, Eina nechsheves lekrach, it has the status of a kfar. And we saw something similar in Rashi back on Daf Gimel Amid Beis in the sugya of Kriyas HaMegillah and Yud Aleph Yud Beis Yud Gimel, that Rashi says that a krach is a makom shvakim u'gdoli yosei mi'ir gdola. And then the Pnei Yeshua goes on and he says that it seems to him that only a place that has rabim shergilim lavo l'sham v'lishos sham b'kvius is then mivne beis haknes l'daitam. So again, we're not talking about people who are members of the city, you know, in a local mayoral election, they would not participate, but on the other hand, they do come for long periods of time into the city. You know, they sleep in inns in order to be there for the fair and so forth and so on. Like in Milano in Italy today, you have a gigantic fair. People come from all over the world. They stay for a full week in Milano. So in that case, because of the fact that people come from all over the world, b'kvius, they build the Beis HaKnesses l'daitom, and therefore you cannot sell it. But if you have guests that come in, but they come into the city and go out of the city, they have no kvius at all, then it doesn't become a krach, and we don't say that the Beis HaKnesses was nivna l'daitom. So b'zmanenu, it could be that excuse me, that the entity, the reality of a krach is almost non-existent, or it's at least rare. But again, even bizmanenu, one could argue that there are cities which are, as we mentioned, Milan, there are other cities that fit that description. Okay, that's some of what we want to discuss here from the Yalkut HaBiurim. And the reason why I wanted to discuss at some point this idea of Nefilas HaOivim is because the Gemara we had here in Chaf Aleph Amid Beis in the previous perek about the Brach Lachrel, which is Haravis Rivenu, which Amir Tzeshem will hear it in a few hours from
you. Yeah, shortly.
And the whole theme of that bracha is no kemis nekmasenu nifalon mitzureinu mishalim gmul chol evin yavshedu. I mean, in many different ways, this long bracha repeats the nefila of our Rishayim. And you get the impression that that's like a central theme in Purim. So it's not just Baruch Mordechai, it's also Or HaMa. And I'm pretty sure we saw somewhere, I just can't remember where, that even with regard to Yetzias Mitzrayim, there's Hanokim Es Nechmasem. And there also, you know, we commemorate, like for example, the whole section in the Haggadah about Kama, you know, Kama Makis Hukmu Aliyam, and all this, right. You know, goes up all the way to 250. Like, what's that all about, you know? And Dam Tzvardei Akidim, you know, we go through the Eser Makas, you know, you get the impression that that part of Sipritzis Mitzrayim is the downfall of our enemies. And in Purim, that seems to be such a major theme. But you see, Purim is all Drabbanan, and I was wondering if on a Doraisa level we have such a theme about, you know, Kael Nekomas Hashem, because if that's part of Sipritzis Mitzrayim, then that's already a doraisa. You know, that really sets a paradigm that we're not just thanking Hashem for our Hatzalah, but also for the downfall of our enemies. Now, Rabosai, I mentioned to you yesterday, and I still feel the same way, that this is one of those sugyas where you have to know everything to know anything. So I found a Mishnah. This is the very next Mishnah, which is on Chav Zayin Amid Beis. And I'm going to try to see if together we can figure out what the Mishnah is saying. And the Mishnah records a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda.
So there are two Mishnayos on Chav Zayin Amid Beis. I'm looking at the second one. Now, there's one issue here between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, and I'm going to try to put that on the back burners for the time being, because I want to focus on the Machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Excuse me. And Chachamim say Mochrim Oso Memkar Olam. So it sounds like according to Chachamim, you can sell a Beis Knesses, and now the Beis Knesses becomes Memkar Olam. Now I'm interpreting, and please take a look in your commentaries, because here we have a representative here of three different commentaries. But I think Memkar Olam means that the person who buys the Beis Knesses, he ends up with something that's chulin. It has no kedusha to it. So I could basically sell a Beis Knesses whenever I'm allowed to sell a Beis Knesses, like we spoke about a Beis Knesses shel kfarim, and it could be an absolute sale. So for example, I'll read to you his Hebrew translation. He says that sovrim chachamim, that as long as he uses the domim, right, the Mishnah at the beginning of the parak says he has to be males adomim the kedusha. From kedusha kali, he's got to go up to a kedusha chamura. Once he does that, then the Beis Knesses is yotze lechulin umutel l'shtamish bo afilu l'divrei chol, which means that the buyer is allowed to use the Beis Knesses for anything he wants.
That's what Rashi seems to say, right?
And yeah, this is always based on Rashi. L'chol tashmish. Okay. All right, we'll see. Rashi gets complicated here. I'm going to try to avoid Rashi for just a minute. But the Chachamim say that there are four actions. You remember we discussed this, four activities that the buyer is not allowed to implement in the Beis Knesses. One of them is he's not allowed to convert the Beis Knesses into a Beis HaMerchatz. Number two, into a Bursaki. Number three, into a Beis Tvila. And number four, Beis HaMayim. Beis HaMayim is a place where you urinate. So basically, what happens here is that there seems to be a distinction between two categories. One is what I call Divrei Chol, and the other is what I call Divrei Bizayon. So the buyer, as long as the sale was a legal, legitimate sale, which means that the damim that were accrued from this sale were used in the proper way, he, the buyer, is allowed to use the Beis Knesses for Divrei Chol, but not for Divrei Bizayon. And the Gemara, the Mishnah itself, delineates four categories of Divrei Bizayon. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mochrin Oso L'Shem Chotzer, Valokeach, in other words, I'm not allowed to sell it to the lokeach for the express purpose of a Beis HaMerchatz, etc., but I can sell it to him as a chotzer. A chotzer is something that's neutral. It's Divrei Chol, but it's not Divrei Bizayon. Because again, if I sell him explicitly for a Beis HaMerchatz, if that's all part of the sale, the agreement, that's already a Bizayon to the Beis HaKnesses. Because again, it's only after the sale, that's when the Beis HaKnesses is Yotze L'chulin. But says Rabbi Yehuda, once the Beis HaKnesses is Yotze L'chulin, then he could do whatever he wants with it. The Lokeach is allowed to make it into a Beis HaMerchatz. Notice, if it wasn't sold explicitly or expressly for the purpose of Beis HaMerchatz, then the Lokeach could use and convert this Beis HaKnesses into a Beis HaMerchatz. Again, keep in mind, we're only talking about a Beis Knesses shel kfarim. You know, we went back and forth yesterday. Is there a possibility that we have, our synagogues have the status of Beis Knesses shel kfarim, and we tried to set up all the conditions, but that's not my point right now. My only point is that it seems that there's a fundamental machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda as to whether or not in the aftermath of the Mechira, is there, again, for lack of a better term, Shirayim of Kedusha in the Beis HaKnesses? So again, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees he can't sell it expressly for the purpose of a Dover B'Zion. But once you sell it for X, we'll call it a chatzer, you know, use it for maybe he'll plant his potatoes there, I don't know what. Then, the Lokech Koit Rabbi Yehuda is no longer limited. He's not straitjacketed in any way. The Beis HaKnesses is chulin. The Chachamim seem to assume no, that there still is some shirayim, some leftover reserve or residue of kedusha, and that expresses itself in the iser of divrei bizayim.
So the Chacham would have to write a contract including those four things. When you sold it to somebody, you'd have to say that, with the stipulation that
maybe,
you don't take.
Maybe that's a good point, Osha. I don't know, but it could be that even if you don't have to stipulate it, the halacha stipulates it. Do you follow what I mean? I don't know if he has to tell him, oh, do me a favor, understand, and sign under that line that you're not going to make it into a Beis HaMikdash. Could be the halacha dictates that. I don't know. It's an excellent question. Now, let me just try to develop one idea here. Rava, back on Chavavam and Aleph, as we saw yesterday, says the following. That our Mishnah, which has all sorts of restrictions in terms of what you do with the Damim in the Beis HaKnesses, and now we're seeing, according to Chachamim, the restrictions also what you can do with the Beis HaKnesses, correct? So again, our Mishnah is focused on the seller, the Mishnah of Chachamim is focused on the buyer. Says Rava that this whole discussion applies where there was no sale of Shiva Tuvei Ir B'maimad Anshei Ha'ir. Let me say it this way, and again, we may have to change this as we go along, but right now I would say the following, that one of those two conditions was absent. Because again, the Mishnah opens up by saying Machu B'nei Ha'ir, so obviously one of those two conditions were... You know, the Rashba quotes two opinions. What is B'nai Ha'ir? Is B'nai Ha'ir the two Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir, or is it the Anshei Ha'ir? But whatever it is, one of those two conditions were fulfilled, says Rabbah, but the other condition was not fulfilled. So let's go this way. This is the Ramban's understanding of our Mishnah, the way Rav interprets it. That in our Mishnah, there was Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir, but wasn't in front of Maimad Anshei Ha'ir. And in such a case, we have the following statement in the Mishnah, that the Domim, you have to be Malah B'Kedusha. However, says Rav, if you had the additional condition of Maimad Anshei Ha'ir, who was both Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir and Maimad Anshei Ha'ir, then you can do whatever you want with the money. You can take that money, buy beer, and have a beer party. I'm not joking about that. That's what Rava says. And you'll see that on the top of Chavav Amid Beis. He says, L'mishri Beis Shikra. Do you see that? The top few words on Amid Beis. And he says, Liknos Bidomov. Right, this is Rashi. Liknos Bidomov. Sheikhar Lishtos. So what's happening here is that if you have both conditions fulfilled, and again we're talking about Beis Knesset Kfarim, you have both A plus B, so you have the Shiva Tuvayir B'mamed Anshei Ha'ir, then there's no restrictions on the Domin. No restrictions on the Domin. And that's not our mission, because our mission, you're lacking one of the two conditions. So, you know, again, there are a number of issues here that are not clear. I just mentioned a few of if you don't mind my confusion here. But one thing I'm confused about is why you need these two conditions. And it seems that one of these two conditions is an absolute requirement. Otherwise, there's no question about Machu B'nei Ha'ir. You need B'nei Ha'ir. They have to sell the Beis HaKnesses. And it could be the Anshei Tuvei Ha'ir is enough. Maybe they represent the city. But you need two conditions. So that has to be understood. Well, what's A plus B over here? You know, Shiva Tuveir plus the Maimed Anshei Ha'ir. What is each one of those conditions
that's
function?
That's not stated in this Mishnah, though, we're assuming.
No, that's Rav. Rav on the bottom of Chav Vav Amin Aleph. But again, you know, that's what I'm telling you. You can't budge here without Rav. I mean, now, my question to you, and this is where I'm really confused, and I'd like to spend a little time trying to go through this question and analyze it, is according to Rava, what happens if you have both conditions? So one thing is clear. If you have both conditions, you can take the damim and spend it any way you want. Go out and buy beer. Right? That's explicit in Rava. That's not Berzon. I mean, that's Mefurish Lehedja. Okay. What's not Mefurish Lehedja is the following. Let's say you had both conditions. Let's shift our discussion over to the lokeach. So we had Rabbi Yehuda's sheet in the Mishnah that once you have all the conditions necessary, although again in the sale you cannot say explicitly I'm selling it to you for the purpose of a Beis HaMerchatz, but Rabbi Yehuda says essentially the lokeach could use it even as a Beis HaMerchatz. There's no limitations whatsoever. The Chacham disagree. And the Chacham set up this limitation of Arba Dvarim. And those four dvarim are called, let's call it Tashmishei Bizayon. I'm just, you know, using, coining a phrase here, so that we'll know what we're talking about. Now, since Rava gives us the following fundamental distinction between A and B, A is the case where you can do whatever you want with the damim, and the lokeach is allowed to buy beer. And case B, which is the case in our Mishnah, that the lokeach has to use the damim and milin b'kodesh. Case A is the case where you had both conditions met, namely shiva tuveir plus maimed anshei ha'ir, then take the damim, Mr. Lokeach, and buy beer. As opposed to case B, which is our Mishnah, we only have one of those two conditions. The Ramban is of the opinion that you have Shiva Tuveir without Maimon Anshe'ir. Then the Damim are restricted and you have to be Malah B'Kedusha. Now I want to know, let's shift to the Lokeach. The Chachamim say that even when this Mechir is valid, the Lokeach is not allowed to use the base Knesset, transform it to a Tashma Shel Bizayon. He's only allowed to use it for chol. In which case are the chachamim, or how do you say this? Are or is? Which case are the chachamim referring to, or which is the case that the chachamim are referring to? Meaning, the restriction of bizayon that prohibits bizayon on the part of lokeach is in case A or case B. Let's go with the lesser chiddush, and then maybe we can take it even beyond it. The lesser chiddush would say that in our Mishnah, since you have restrictions in terms of the damim, because you're missing a second condition, namely maimed anshei ha'ir, and you need maila b'kodesh, let's add another restriction, that the lokeach is not allowed to use the base knesses for tashmishei bizayon. That's one way of going. But I have another way of going, and I think it's equally appealing. And that's to say that even in the case of Rava, we had both conditions, and therefore you're allowed to use the damim for buying beer, but nevertheless the Beis Knesset itself, shifting over to Lokeach, has the restriction of Tashmishei Bizayon, the exclusion of Tashmishei Bizayon. In other words, when the Chachamim say in the Mishnah that Tashmishei Bizayon are also on the part of Lokeach, what were they referring to? Were they referring to the incomplete Mechira, where there was only Shiva Tuveir, where the Mishnah establishes that the Damim have to be restricted, so therefore the Lokeach has to be restricted? Or no, maybe the Chachamim were making an absolute statement that even in the most complete mafir that you could imagine, you've got a base knesses shel kfarim, you have anshe, you have the shiva tuvair, and you have anshe maimad anshe ha'ir. You got everything that you want. I'll stink, but still there's a vestige of kedusha in the base knesses that generates an isur tashmish.
Okay,
this is where I got confused.
So I would say that. That the Chachamim would be doing the first case. Same why I think that where it's the case where there's no mamad, right? Because if it was the second case where there's a general cloud, the Chachamim make a general cloud that you have to lose no bizayon, then that would have to be written in the contract, and it would have to be in the next. When the person sells it to the next person, it should maintain that. The Chacham would you'd have to be stipulating that. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. In other words, because if you're saying there's a bizoyo to the basic kinesis, then it has to be a permanent bizoyo, potential permanent bizoyo. So you can't take. It's like when you have the.
But one second, the only thing I don't understand is this concept of kedusha space kinesis. Which, according to the Chachamim, how should I say, what word in English means that it lives even after? I don't know, I'm looking for a word. That it continues even after the Mechira.
Right.
It's perpetual.
It's perpetual.
Right.
It perpetuates even beyond the Mechira.
Right. That's
just one second. Here's my question to you. Does that halacha of the Chachamim of the perpetuity of the Kedusha space Knesset even after the Mechira, does it have to be written in the contract? What I'm suggesting is that there's a halachic status of kedusha, and the question is, does the mechira remove that kedusha? Does it not?
It would have.
Do you understand my question? I think
if you're saying that though, then there's you open up for Ramoy that I buy it and then I flip it to the next person.
Those are technicalities, and the Rabbanon are going to have to deal with that. Maybe they'll be Xeris the Rabbanons, I don't know what it is. But I'm dealing with the Doraisa halacha here. You remember yesterday we gave an example of a pigeon of a Zevach that became a Balmum, and we said that it's even after the pigeon, it's Yotze Lechulin Bat. It's also Begiz of Avoda. So if I use that paradigm and I apply it here to the Kedusha Beis HaKnesses, just again, if you can, L'saber those, and if Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses is similar to Kedusha Zevach L'Mizbeach, then just like in Kedusha Zevach L'Mizbeach, I can sell the karma, but still there's a residue of Kedusha.
Is Kedusha Beis HaKnesses
right? And I don't have to indicate that to the.
Okay,
to
so you're right, sir, to Rabbanon, Kedusha Beis HaKnesses.
I don't know. That's a Gemalda good question. That's an unbelievable question. Is Kedusha's basic Knesset still right?
I look at this as the Chachamim who give the Knesset because they sold it without the Mamad. Because, so, if I have a Teva, I have the Teva, all right, the wood from the Teva, that maintains Kedusha ad olam, right? If I have, say, the Torah Teva, that Kedusha, when you build another, you can't throw away the wood from the Teva.
No, you're asking me something that's way ahead of me.
We renovated the shul, so you can't. We ended up incorporating the wood from the previous aron into the renovation because of that halacha.
Into the structure of the basic Knesset.
But anything.
And they never even sold it. You're saying, or what?
No. What I'm talking about even.
Did they sell the table?
I'm saying that this was part of the point was that you couldn't get rid of that. You couldn't get rid of that the wood from the aron. But I'm saying, but step away from the aron, I can sell the parochus. I can sell.
But by the way, Asher, if you would ask me again, I don't know anything. I don't know zilch. But if you would ask me just intuitively, can I take an on kodesh and use the wood to build a beis haknesses? I would say absolutely not. Because right. That would be Morida Vakoda.
Exactly.
Now, if you sold the Teva, again, under all the conditions that met, then I could wonder what you do with the wood of the Teva.
But I don't think you can sell the Teva. in that sense, because Marim.
Well, no, our Mishnah says you can sell a teva, just that you have to take the dummy and use it for mitbachos, right?
But they're not showing you saying what somebody else does with the teva.
No, I'm not asking.
Okay, I'm going to say the Eitz Chaim of a Sefer
Torah. Here I would agree with you that once you sell the teva, the buyer, again, I don't know why he would buy it, but let's say he would buy it, would still be restricted.
But I'm saying, even
why? Eitz because the sale doesn't remove the kedusha.
Right, Eitz Chaim.
It removes part of the kedusha.
If you rebuild Eitz Chaim, the safety, because it's in contact with the same thing, like a tefillin bag relative to a talus bag, there's a different kedusha.
Can't you bury it?
But that's maintained kedusha. Yeah, but when you bury it, it's maintained kedusha.
Right, but if you, in your case, did you incorporate it into the base Knesset or into the new table?
Into the table.
Into the table, okay. Because if you couldn't do the base Knesset, that would be
right.
Okay, so that's right.
I thought you were using it as part of the construction.
We incorporated it into the design of the table, the new table.
You're talking about Beth Miller?
Yeah. The whole
now, Rabose, let me just move on with my confusion, so to speak. Take a look at the first Mishnah on Chav Zayin of the days. It says, Ein Mochrin Es Shal Rabim Li Yochid. You can't take a Beis Knesset Shal Rabim and sell it for an individual, for private ownership. Mipnei Shemoridin Oso Mikdushaso Dibre Rabbi Meir. In other words, there's a higher level of Kedusha to a Beis Knesset Shal Rabim than that of a Beis Knesset Shal Yochid. And we've already more or less encountered this concept because we spoke about the difference between Krochim and Kfarim, the Kfarim and Krochim.
The way this finishes, though, is I'm low.
Okay, wait, you're a step ahead of me. So give me a minute just to, because what I want to show you is an unbelievable Rashi here. So give me 5 minutes and then we'll get to the Rashi. Amru lo. So the Chachamim turned to Rabbi Meir and they say, Imkain, according to you, Af lo mi'ir gedola li'ir ktana. What that means is the following. An ir gedola has a guaranteed minyan. There are 10 people come to davening. It's not always guaranteed, but, if it's a large city, you have the shtibuch here. We'll have the asar bat one. But an ir ktana, we might not have a minyan. And if that be the case, then at this point, we might have to drop kedusha. Kedusha meaning in chazor sashatz. Why? Because if we don't have a minyan, we don't have chazor sashatz. So maybe the absence of kedusha lowers the level of the sanctity of the Beis HaKnesses. So are you going to tell me, Rabbi Meir, that if there's a blockage here called Ein Moridim B'Kedushaso, then perhaps in a case where you're going to sell the Beis HaKnesses and you don't have a guaranteed minyan and you're going to have to drop kedusha, that also indicates that, because again, the kedusha's Beis HaKnesses is all a function, again, Eric asked whether it's Doraisa or Dorabon, I don't know, but whatever it is, it's a reflection, it's generated by the designation for tefillah, right? That's what we saw about Rechov HaShalir, that Rechov HaShalir is a knapper based Knesset, because we only daven there on tinyos, right? So here also, with regard to tefillah, there's one level of tefillah called tefillah sheyesh bo kedusha, and then there's another tefillah of tefillah sheyesh bo kedusha. Let's take a look at the Gemara, because again, I'm just trying to get to a certain Rashi here, but I don't think we'll appreciate the Rashi until we go through this Gemara. So the Gemara says, Shapir Kamalei Rabbanu Rabbi Meir. Is there any way Rabbi Meir could defend himself? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir, what does Rabbi Meir hold? Meir Gedol Lir Ktano, that's not called a low level of Kedusha. Meikara Kadisha, Vashtanami Kadisha. Again, I'm not sure what he means, but there is still a possibility that even if we have to drop kedusha, but it's still, even in Eir Ketan, it's still designated for tefillah, so it has that basic element of tefillah, and we're not going to break down the levels of kedusha with such a fine-tooth comb. Oh, so he says the following. Rabbi Meir turns to the Chachamim, and he says the following. If you're going to tell me that we get so fine and we're going to define a hierarchy of Kedushin Beis HaKnesses, he says, Hashtanami, Let's say I sell one shul that has a minyan to a shul that doesn't have a minyan, right? Is Lekha Kedusha? Are you going to tell me that because it's a Beis Knesset Katan, therefore it doesn't have Kedusha? So the Rabbanan say, Iikal Lemechesh, Ki Hai Gavna, Nami Iikal Lemechesh, Mishum Barov Amajus Melech. No, Rabbi Meir says that you can't sell a Beis Knesset Shel Rabim for a Yachid. So then we should go a step further, say the Chachamim. You can't sell a Beis Knesset of an Ir Gedola to an Ir Ketana, because we're going to be lacking Kedusha.
Is that a Krach versus a Kfar? Because, I thought that's how we defined Krachim, is that they have the 10.
Not necessarily. I think Krachim has to do with the fact that there are people from outside the city that come into the city. Let's assume that no matter how you slice the cake, we're talking about local people, meaning this is not one of those cosmopolitan synagogues in Milano, you know, when people come for the great furniture fair, you know, and they stay in Milano for a week. We're talking about a city, it's a nice-sized city, but nobody's coming in from the outside.
I assume we're
not on a permanent basis.
Dismantling the synagogue and rebuilding it elsewhere because you can't move the people, you got to move the building?
I don't know, Eric, I'm sorry, I can't focus on what you're asking me.
Okay.
It's a very good question, but I'm just, you know, bear with me just to try to get through one very major point here. Let's go through it again. Shafir ka'omole rabbanu l'rabbi meir. You're making a distinction, Rabbi Meir, between Shel Rabim and Shel Yochid. Then why don't you go a step further and make a distinction between a Beis Knesset in an Ir Gedola and a Beis Knesset in an Ir Ketana. So the Gemara wants to know, how did Rabbi Meir deal with the objection of the Chachamim that the Mishnah omits? And the Gemara says the following, that Meir Gedola Ir Ketana Meikara Kadisha Vashtanami Kadisha. In other words, even in Ir Ketana, the Beis Knesset has a Kedusha. But Mirabim Liyachid Lekha Kedusha. So if it's a private Beis Knesset, then it doesn't have Kedusha. Again, we have to see what's going on. It could be means that after the Mechir, it doesn't have Kedusha. All right, now let's go to the Rabbanon. For Rabbanon, what do they hold? If you're going to tell me that a Beis Knesset Shel Yochid has less Kedusha than a Beis Knesset Shel Rabim, and therefore you're not allowed to sell it, a Beis Knesset Shel Rabim for a Yochid, is therefore Ki Hai Gavna, in the case where you sell it to an Ir Ketana, then Nami Ikal Mechish, maybe we should say that you're lowering the level of Kedusha. Even if you could guarantee me that there'll be a minion in the Ir Ketana, and we will be able to recite Kedusha, but nevertheless, Mishum Barov Am Hajus Melech. In other words, there's a difference between 10 people showing up in a minion and 100 people showing up in a minion. So since the Ir Gedola has 100 people, that's called Barov Am, that generates a higher level of Kedusha than what? Than an Ir Ketana where there are only 10 people for a minion. So basically the Rabbanan is saying, I think, like Ein L'Dover Sof. In other words, if you're divvying up the levels of Kedusha with such a fine-tooth comb, then there's no end to it. You'll never be able to sell the Beis HaKnesses Kim'at, right? You're going to have to make sure that there's going to be a minion in the buyer's Beis HaKnesses, right? And not only that, you're going to have to assume that there are as many people in the buyer that are in the seller. You know, it's just the Kedusha will always fluctuate. Okay, again, Rabosa, we're going to have to come back to this. I just want to show you a Rashi. Rashi talks about the Rabbanon. It's the second Rashi on the Daf. And he says the following. Rabbanon Amri, I Iko Lemechish, Bein Rav Lema'at. If you're differentiating between a lot of people using a Beis Knesset and a smaller group using the Beis Knesset, Hochinami Iko Lemechish Mishum Barov Amajus Melech. Okay, now again, Rashi's going very far. lo mishkachas mechira lebeis haknesses, meaning according to you, Rav Meir will never be able to sell lebeis haknesses. I don't know what Rashi means. That's not the part of the Rashi that I want to emphasize for you. Maybe Rashi means it's hardly possible. You know, you have to, you have to cut it with a fine tooth comb until you make sure that there are more people in the second base Knesset than in the first base Knesset. Ela lo chai shinon. Rashi says, then we're not worried. In other words, let's not look at the buyer and see if in the hands of the buyer, the kedusha is at least as great, or perhaps even greater than it was in the hands of the seller. Well, here's the part of Rashi that I want to study with you. Rashi says the kevan de shakal dami. Once the buyer gets the money, umayli lahu b'kedusha ma'ula. What does he do with the money that he received for the beis hakneses? He invests it in a higher level of kedusha. Let's say in mitpachos, in svarim, in sefer Torah, is called the boilo keach of it. Whatever he wants to do with that beis knesses, he can do with it. Which, if I understand correctly, Rashi is saying that the mechira removes the kedusha of the beis hakneses. So why do you have to analyze whether the recipient is designating this synagogue for a higher level of, let's call it, Kedusha or Barov HaMajus Melech? Drop that whole discussion. What does he do with this base Knesses? I'm leaving out the last few words of Rashi. Whatever he wants to. Right? Kol deboi lokech ovid. Right? Let's read those four words. Lokeach is allowed to do with this beis knesses whatever he wants to.
So this situation where the seller is missing one of two conditions, and because he's referring to the money going up in Kedusha, now I could look at this one of two ways. Kal v'chomer that if you have both conditions satisfied with the seller, then it should also be no problem for the buyer. But you can look at it another way and say, except that they're not, where does the Kedusha go then? Do they have the power then to remove the Kedusha completely? Because when you fill both conditions, they can go buy, spend the money on beer, they don't have to go up. And here he's kind of saying that because the Kedusha stays with the money that the seller receives, therefore it's removed from the Beit Knesset and it doesn't matter what happens with the buyer.
So it sounds like Rashi is assuming it's a complete mechira because he says, "Kol my deboy lokeach avit." Then Rashi drops a bomb, and he says, "Chutz mi dalit varim kiriktani seifa." Seifa means he's referring to the Chachamim in the next Mishnah. Meaning, if he wouldn't have added that last proviso, then I would go to Rabbi Yehuda the next Mishnah, and Rabbi Yehuda says in the next Mishnah that the lokeach is free to use the beis knesses in any way he wishes to, correct? But Rashi doesn't want to square our first mission of Chachamim with Rabbi Yehuda because Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, Rashi is compelled to add the following proviso: Chutz midalad dvarin.
Although Rashi could only be applying this, it still can only be applied when you only have either the trustees or the whole, populace agreeing to it rather than both. In the situation of both selling it, he still may say those four conditions don't apply because it could be an even more complete removal of Kedusha.
Okay. So let me just read to you Rabbi Kiveger. Okay? Now, maybe you can help me find Rabbi Kiveger. I'm quoting this from an article here called Bedin Mechiras Beis HaKnesses in a sefer called Shiurei HaRav, and he writes Ayin Rabbi Kiveger Begilyon HaShas. So now, where is this Rabbi Kiveger Begilyon HaShas? Maybe it's back on Daf Chavov. Let's see. Oh, I think it's the last Gilyon HaShas on Chavov Amin Aleph.
Now, I'm just going to read to you, just because of expediency, time expediency, I'm going to read to you a summary of Rabbi Kveger. It's a long Gilui Nashas. You see it? It's about 10 lines long. Chavav Amin Aleph. You're looking on Amid Beis, I assume.
Yeah.
Turn back, and here you'll see Gilui Nashas. It's this one. One second, it should be this one here.
Okay.
I think. I don't know. Maybe, I'm not sure. Maybe you have a different printing than I have. I don't know. You have this, it should say Dibra Maschalo Shanu. You have such a Rav Kveger? Yes? Again, here it's Shom Dibra Maschalo Shanu.
Okay, yeah.
You have such a thing?
Yes.
All right, so again, you're going to, while I'm hacking around here and haranguing here, you'll look into Rav Kveger, okay? So we're going to divide up the work. It's, how do you say, divide and conquer?
I'm not going to be able to understand it for myself.
Okay, so listen, Rabosai, listen to me. Rava says here on Daf Chavav Amid Aleph, Lo Shanu, in other words, when do we require Halas Damim, and that's only because you're missing one of these two conditions, correct? So Rabbi Kveger is bothered by the following. Rashi says that in our Mishnah that you're missing one of two conditions, and therefore you have to be Malah B'damim. Rashi says, take a look on Chavav Amid Aleph. Eric, look inside Rashi, three lines up from the bottom. This is what Rabbi Kveger is bothered by. You have Rashi?
Mm-hmm.
You see the words, Ubeis HaKnesses B'chashivuso Omed, Af B'yad Lokeach. So Rashi says that even after the sale, the lokeach is still restricted. Do you see that? Beis HaKnesses. Now, this you may see, again, depending on your print, there's a Hagos HaBach here, but just trust me on this. He changes the gears in Rashi. It should say, Ubeis HaKnesses B'Kiddushaso Omdei. Okay, because Chashivuso doesn't make any sense, but if you just change one or two letters, it becomes Kedushoso Omen. Af Biyad Alokeach. Now, Rashi at the end is very complicated. He gives you an analogy to selling a Sefer Torah, that the Sefer Torah remains sanctified even in the hands of the Lokeach. Okay, that's not a fair analogy, so we don't understand what Rashi's talking about. A Sefer Torah, you can never lose the Kedusha of a Sefer Torah. But okay, fine. But that, I don't want to get off on a tangent. That itself requires a lot of analysis. But in any event, Rashi says that despite the Mechira, nevertheless the Beis HaKnesses remains in its Kedusha. Now, if you take this Rashi here on Chavav Amid Beis and you attach it to the Rashi that we just saw on Chav Zayin Amid Beis, where Rashi says that after the Mechira and you take the Damim and you use it L'mayla B'Kedusha, Rashi says Kol D'Boi Lokech Ovid.
No restriction.
So Rashi seems to...
Those four.
Correct. Give me one second. I just want to go step by step. I'm sorry. My mind moves very slowly then. What Rashi is saying here is that A, the Mechira was a valid Mechira. B, you did what you had to do with the money, you the Mocher, and you invested it in a higher level of Kedusha. And then Rashi says, Kol D'Boi Lokech Ovid. Now, Rabbi Kveger understood that when Rashi says, Kol D'Boi Lokech Ovid, what he means is that as long as you take the money from that Beis Knesses, which now has the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses, and you're Milo the Kedusha, then the Beis HaKnesses itself is Yotzo L'chulin. Again, Rashi wants to square with the Chachamim of Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore he adds Chutz Midal Dvarim. So let me read to you a summary of Rabbi Kveger. Again, you can read it inside. He says the following. Bevuar, the Sfir Leila Rashi, that Belav Maimed Anshei Ha'ir, right, if you're missing one of these two conditions, because that's the discussion in our Mishnah, Ein Moridin Domim B'Kedushasan, V'gam beis hakneses b'chashivuso omed. Now the implication, therefore, is that if it was b'maimed anshei ha'ir, if you had the second condition fulfilled, then beis hakneses v'adomim yotzu l'chulin. You know, there are no restrictions on what the seller has to do with the money, and therefore there are no restrictions on what the buyer should have to do with the beis hakneses. V'tamuali. Again, see if you can find it inside. V'tamuali. Mizeh divrei Rashi l'kamon chav zayinom in beis. Divrei Amaskel v'rabbonon. Is that the divrei Amaskel v'rabbonon? Yeah. They came to the shakil dami. Umayla lube kedusha. Is mimonafshach. Here's Rabbi Kivegin's analysis of Rashi on daf chav zayinom in beis. Im machru b'maimen anshei ha'ir. If all the conditions were met, is lo tzarech lahalos dami b'kedusha. Why does Rashi insist that he has to be Milo B'Kedusha? Correct? So again, if the conditions were met, A plus B, for the Mechira, you had also Maimon Ansheir, you don't have to be Milo Damim. He says, Afal Piken Alokech my Duboy Ovid, so even though you didn't use the Damim for Milo B'Kedusha because you have all the conditions met, right, that's what Rava says on Daf Chavav. The beis hakneses yoltzei lechulin. V'amos muter, afilu mishtei shikra. So Rav Kivei doesn't understand the logic here. If, again, we're on halfway through the Mimonavshach. If A, we're not yet up to B, we're investigating all possibilities. But on the side that we're talking about a case where both conditions were met, then I don't understand. You don't have to use the dom in any specific way. Therefore, the base knesses is yotzei lechulin, even though you're allowed to use the most in any way you want. So you can use the most to buy beer. That's what we saw in Rava, right? So if you can use the most to buy beer, so then the base knesses is yotzei lechulin. What does Rashi Hakin here with Dalet Dvarim? Now he goes to the other side of the mind. Let's assume that Rashi's talking about a case where you're missing that second condition. Yeah. Then he says, Afim Mailin Bidomim, Mikolokom Besakneses, Bikdusha Sekoi. Because if you take a look at Rashi, here on Daf Chavav Omid Aleph, Rashi says, U Besakneses, Bikdusha So Omid. So let me go over this one more time. Again, sure. And then. Here's the Mimar Shok of Rebbe Kivei. If we're talking about a case where both conditions were met, and there's no din of Maila Domim, it means that the Beis HaKnesses is Yotzi L'chulin. And Rashi still insists that there's an Isur Dal Dvarim. He doesn't understand why. I mean, if I could use the Domim to buy beer, why can't the Lokech use the Beis HaKnesses in any way he wishes? It means apparently the Beis HaKnesses is Yotzei L'chulin. If on the other hand Rashi's talking about a case where you're missing the second condition, so that Rashi here on Daf Chavav and Aleph already reveals the secret that B'Kedushas O'Kaimeh. And why is it B'Kedushas O'Kaimeh? Because you have to be Maladomim. And why do you have to be Maladomim? Because the Mechira is not complete.
Well,
I'm going to go over one more time. Sorry, you know, when it comes to mathematics, I'm very slow. Here's the mathematics of Rebbe Kivei. I don't understand. Rashi here on Daf Chavav tells me that since there's a halacha of Maila Domim when you're missing one of the two conditions, therefore the base knesses b'kedushas okay. It remains in its kedusha. Rebbe Kivei understands that nothing happened to the kedusha. The kedusha is still intact. Again, we're going to come back and analyze that point, but that's Rabbi Kivega's premise. Therefore, he asks the question, so why does Rashi say, so if it's been Dushasokai, because what? Only one of the two conditions was met, so then why does Rashi say no, that the Lokech can use it in any way he wants to, meaning that there's no condition to the basicness. Ella, what are you going to tell me? That Rashi is talking about a case where you had both conditions. So if you had both conditions, then there's no din of Dushas Okai. And if there's no din of Dushas Okai, why does Rashi say Chutz Mi'ar B'Dvarim?
But
Rabbi Kivega.
But I understand, doesn't Rashi say, doesn't Rashi in Chav Zayin Amad Beis, doesn't he say means that they took the money and they did kedusha.
So if that be the case, then the then Rashi on Daf Chav Vav is committed to the kedusha also kaimin.
Yes,
because Rashi holds
the kedusha also kaimin means maybe Rashi means kedusha kaimin means those four things.
Okay, excellent. Okay, you're already answering Rav Kivega, and that's brilliant. And you're 100% right. But I just want to.
Okay.
I want to enjoy the kasha. Okay. Rav Kivega doesn't even answer this kasha. Again, Rav Kivega is working with the following. There are two things that go hand to hand.
Right.
If you're telling me that the damim have to be used in a certain way, then what you're telling me, says Rashi on Chofav, is based Knesset v'kdushasokai. You can't use the word v'lokei kol ma'idavoy avin yavet. That doesn't make sense. You can't use that terminology if you're referring to v'kdushasokai. Ella what? Rashi must be talking about a case where there were both conditions met. So says Rabbi Kivega, if both conditions were met, then Rashi's holding that it's not the kedushasokai. And that's why Rashi says, kol ma'idavoy avin yavet. But Rabbi Kivega can't understand if it's lav kedushasokai. So why is it the nisar of Dal Tvarim? And that's what Rashi is going to give his answer. Go ahead.
So, if you have both conditions met, then you still could have no kedusha except for these four conditions. That could be just a lesser, where right. It isn't kedusha.
See
except for those four conditions.
Rabbi Kivega is operating with what I call. In Yiddish, we call it adagara de garden. I know Eric, you're Sephardi, so you're not used to Yiddish. But in Hebrew, it's called o hakol o lo klum. You familiar with that phrase? It's either black or white, all or nothing. There's no middle ground. Rav Kivega wants to say the following. If you're telling me that you have to be Maila B'Domim, and therefore Rashi says, Beis Knesset B'Kedusha So Kaimei, so then you can't use the Beis Knesset for anything. And maybe you have to even use it for a larger group, whatever it is. Ella what? Rashi's going to be talking about a case where you're missing one of the two conditions. No, if you're missing one of the conditions, how can Rashi say that there's no Kedusha to the Beis HaKnesses, and the Lokeach is allowed to use it for everything? What Rav Kivega is not willing to entertain in his mind is that even after we fulfill these conditions, there still is some Kedusha. In other words, when Rav Kivega read Rashi, B'Kedushas HaKaimei, he meant it has the Kedusha, the whole Kedusha, nothing but the whole Kedusha. There's no such thing as splitting the Kedusha. That's what Rabbi Kivega misses. I think that's what Rabbi Kivega, again, don't quote me on this, misses the point. And the point is that it's not an all or nothing enterprise. That there is such a thing as removing the Kedusha, but yet there's still a vestige of Kedusha. And that's the Dalit Vav.
Yes.
Most I'm gonna listen to you as I pack up.
But I still probably he's kind of assuming that the Kedusha and I guess this is Rashi's point that if the Kedusha stays on the money, then the Kedusha stays on the bank. That's it.
Right.
If the Kedusha stays on the money, then it doesn't with it.
Right.
But that doesn't seem that there are other cases where we have, for example, that sounds something like, okay, with is it tomorrow when you have an animal and then you designate another one, they both are Kedusha. Whereas if you have Meister Shani, you could transfer completely from the
right.
The food.
Kivega thinks it's like Meister Shani, it's a total transfer.
In one way it's like tomorrow, in one way it's
because Rabbi Kivega says the following, that if the conditions for the Mechira were met on Daf Chav Vav, then why is there an Isra Arba Dvarim? I can take the Dhamma, but I can drink beer with it.
But
so why
Shane is a middle condition. It's either tomorrow if no condition, if the conditions aren't met, or it's Kedusha goes away completely if both conditions are met. My Shane is kind of a middle ground where if the I could see an argument. You can say, well, okay, if you're going to whether Kedusha stays with the money, then it goes off the Beit Knesset. If it's that's like Meister Shani, right? You maybe transfer one to the other.
But isn't it totally gone?
Well, that's
if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah.
After Meister Shani, there's nothing left.